The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we have been following events in Scotland with some interest when we had the sudden resignation of the First Minister, Hamza Yousaf, and we wondered what lies ahead. Well, Mark Pohl, London correspondent for the Irish Times, is going to fill us in. Mark Pohl, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, let's go back to the beginning of all of this. I mean, the SNP has had a really turbulent period, going back to the travails of Alex Salmond, and then we had, I suppose, the Winnebago Gate and all the rest of it, and we have an ongoing criminal investigation, which we can't really address. But talk to me about the genesis of the current issues.
Well, the genesis of the current issues really is as you mentioned, Hamza Yousaf, who is the First Minister, still the First Minister of Scotland, but he announced his intention to quit on Monday. Now, he succeeded Nicola Sturgeon, and he's been dealing with all of those SNP scandals that you mentioned over the last year or so. He was only appointed 14 months ago, but what Hamza Yousaf did last week was he made a huge political error, and he ended the SNP's government partnership with the Scottish Greens, and he did it in such a way that he made the Scottish Greens so mad that they said they would vote against him.
Now, when you say in such a way, what exactly did he do? Did he just kind of tell them nothing and then, you know, divorce?
No, what he did was he sacked the two Green ministers. He called them in at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he made them do kind of a perp walk afterwards in front of all of the press. They had to walk out having been sacked. He's moved a lot of the Scottish government's positions away from agreed positions that had been agreed with the Greens, which some SNP supporters think had dragged the government too far to the left. And all of this coalesced around the fact that the Greens just wanted Hamza Yousaf out. They said they would support a no confidence motion against him. He realised he didn't have the numbers in Parliament and he quit. And now we have the second leadership contest for the SNP in 14 months. And I suppose it's a case of the old guard versus a new start. And it's really shaping up, if indeed a contest is held, it could still be a coronation. It's really shaping up. And today in Edinburgh, we're expecting a little more of a clearer picture about who is going to run. And I'm sitting here in Edinburgh. I'm going to spend a day down in the Scottish Parliament. It's a cloudy day here, but it's definitely heating up in this SNP race.
Now, the question of the Green agenda that so annoyed Yousaf that he fired them in a cack-handed way. There's no question about that. An embarrassing way. There might have been a different way of dealing with it, maybe a renegotiation of the deal. But what were the Green policies that so irked him?
Well, I suppose they fall under two broad headings. One under climate issues. I mean, what Hamza Yousaf did the week before the fallout with the Greens was he effectively scrapped the Scottish government's target to reduce climate emissions by 75% by 2030. An independent body said it just wasn't achievable. The work hadn't been done, so he scrapped that. He's also
now how did the Greens react to that? I mean, if you have an independent body saying, look, it's all very well to be aspirational, but, you know, it's not going to be done, so there's no point in beating yourself up with it.
Well, what the Greens did was they immediately said that they would put the Bute House Agreement, which was the agreement between the Greens and the SNP, that they would put that to a vote of their members to see were they still happy with it. And that meant the SNP would have to sit down there like the bride at the altar for the next 4 weeks waiting on the Greens to make up their mind. Something else that Hamza Yousaf has done as well, which really annoyed the Greens, is that he's cuddled up to the oil and gas industry a little bit more. I mean, obviously the North Sea oil and gas industry is off the coast of Aberdeen in Scotland. And then under the other broad heading of things, you have, I suppose, broadly trans issues and self-identification of trans people. And then you have the CAS review, which looked at how trans healthcare is delivered in Britain. And the Greens would have been very much, I suppose, on the pro-trans front. And some of these positions were unpopular with voters. So Hamza Yousaf, as you said, in a cack-handed fashion, ended this government partnership with the Greens, cost him his own job, and now there's a leadership contest to replace him, and it will be the SNP's third leader in 14 months.
Now, will there be any confidence motion or not now, given that, I suppose, what the Greens wanted they have achieved with the First Minister stepping down? I mean, he has stepped down, but he stays in until there's a replacement.
Yes, there was two confidence motions, one of which was in him personally that had been lodged by the Tory party. And when he announced he was quit, the Tory party, Scottish Tories pulled that. There is another confidence motion in the entire Scottish government, which was lodged by Labour on the same day. That's going ahead. The vote on that will be held this afternoon. But it's pretty much doomed to failure. I mean, the way the numbers stack up, the Scottish Greens, now that Humza Yousaf is out of the picture, they've said they won't back this confidence motion against the entire Scottish government. So that's probably doomed to failure. But there'll still be a debate on it in the afternoon down in the Holyrood Parliament, which I hope to be at. And again, in the background, then the old guard and the new guard are shadow boxing for the leadership.
Yeah. Now, you said there could be potentially a coronation. We had one with Simon Harris here. Obviously, that contenders fell by the wayside. And it was, I suppose, an incredibly smooth transition. So who are the likely representatives of the progressives in the SNP, and who are the old guard who would be quite happy with the abandonment of some of those positions on trans?
Well, it's funny. There's actually a kind of an overlap in a sense. The old guard, in a sense, and this is where it gets very curious, the old guard are actually probably more in favour of some of those progressive policies that you mentioned. It's a kind of a curious kink in Scottish politics. The old guard have coalesced around John Swinney, who would have been Nicola Sturgeon's deputy first minister, and he led the party himself 20 years ago. And the new start, has coalesced around Kate Forbes, who was beaten by Humza Yousaf for the leadership last year, but she's very socially conservative, which probably cost her leadership last year. Whereas John Swinney would be much more palatable to the Greens, who they would need to get through, and so those two are the two most likely candidates. There could still be a coronation, and they could do a deal with each other where they give each other a cabinet post, or the indication certainly that I had last night certainly was that Kay Forbes really wanted to run, but the establishment of the party has swung in behind John Swinney. So we've got an interesting contest ahead, if there is a contest, and there'll be a vote by SNP members.
Yeah, do we know whether John Swinney wants it? Because I think he stepped back from the limelight, saying that the pressure was too much and, you know, normal family life was affected by all of this. Do we know, does he want it?
You're right to raise that question, because when the leadership first came up last spring, what he said was it was time for a fresh start, and he swung in behind Humza Yousaf, who was seen as Nicola Sturgeon's favourite candidate. This time around, he's saying different. John Swinney is saying that, you know, he has to listen to all of the people that have asked him to stand, that he's given serious consideration to it, and in effect, the party establishment has swung in behind him. There's a little bit of a stop Kate campaign going on here by the old guard of the party, by, I suppose, the party that would have been traditionally closer to Nicola Sturgeon. Kate Forbes is seen as a divisive figure, even though a lot of people think that perception of her is unfair, because she does have quite socially conservative positions, but she's also young and bright and clever and probably the most able politician in the SNP.
The question of the trans debate, I mean, where is that now? I saw in one of the papers yesterday that the NHS has taken a view about biological sex, that if, for example, irrespective of where you feel your gender lies, that if you're biologically male, for example, you go into a male ward in a hospital. If you're biologically female, you go into a female ward. Does that extend up into Scotland, or do they run their own writ there?
Well, health is a devolved power, so the NHS is a different organisation in Scotland to England and to Wales. What you mentioned there about the NHS in England, yes, they've made this declaration that sex is a biological fact. You had the CAS review, which looked at the treatment of trans healthcare for kids a couple of weeks ago. And what the NHS in Scotland has done is says that it will pause giving puberty blockers to kids, trans kids in Scotland, and until it reviews the CAS review. And that was really, really controversial with the Greens as well. So Scotland is tacking slightly away from the pro-trans front, if you like, and maybe slightly back towards the centre on these issues, and that upset the Greens. But yeah, it's a live issue up here. It was a real big issue over, you know, where you put trans prisoners, for example. That was a big issue that was one of the issues actually that did for Nicola Sturgeon early last year, right before she resigned. So that issue is as controversial in Scotland as it is anywhere else.
And there was some critique about the incitement bill, that it gave protection to trans people in a way it didn't protect women.
Yes, that's right. And, a lot of the kind of a hate speech bill, and which was actually drafted by Humza Yousaf when he was Justice Secretary, that has come in, and there's a sense that it has a kind of a, I suppose, would you say, an ideological tilt towards certain minorities, like the trans community. You have other people in Scottish politics who say that's entirely as it should be, because you have a vulnerable minority who need to be protected. But certainly when that incitement, when those incitements on free speech laws came in, or anti-free speech laws, that was a controversial issue in Scotland. So there's a lot happening in Scotland at a political level, but also at a kind of a culture war level. And some of those culture wars from England and the South are now leaking over Scottish border.
And the final question is about either Kate Forbes or John Swinney in terms of an independent Scotland. Are both of them presumably gung-ho on that main plank of SNP politics?
Yes, Kay Forbes a little bit less so. It's not that she's any less in favour of independence. I mean, I met her last year, and last summer I went up to meet her in Dingwall in her constituency. She's very pro-independence, but she thinks the SNP needs to go back to good governance first and convince the Scottish people that it can govern properly. I mean, Scotland does have some problems with its economy, with, you know, the levels of drug addiction and so on, and certain, I suppose, social measures that are a bit out of kilter with other countries. So John Swinney, of course, will be old guard in the sense that independence is the central tentpole that holds up everything in the SNP. It's the raison d'etre of the party. So there is a slight difference in emphasis on that. Neither really has a real strategy for how to achieve it yet, because as long as London, as long as the government of Westminster is saying you're not getting a referendum, it's very, very difficult to see where Scotland can go on this issue at all.
Mark Paul, London correspondent for the Irish Times, but today in Edinburgh, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.